I'm trying to get to Micanopy, if you guys know where Micanopy. Don't they have the don't they have the nude waitresses with the donut shop over there? It's all right off I-75. Cafe Risque or something on your way to Gainesville. Well,
it's going to be a fun one. Episode number 2 of 2020 on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's first family of Ford. They're just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Ira himself will tell you about his brand new Ford that he has got now, and he's having a lot of fun with that. It's going to be a good time coming up. Big Storm Brewery. We love Big Storm beer. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can find where to buy Big Storm beer. Go to their Storm Tracker. You can also get it at JoeBucksFan.com. And they have 3 tap rooms as well. The big one, Big Storm Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road. That's where Ira is going to be all next season for Bucks road games. And that will be the home of our huge draft parties this year. Bigger and better than ever. Big Storm Brewing, Big Storm Beer. We love it. Go have yourself a Bromosa. Now, we also want to thank Pin Chasers, pinchasers.net. That's where you bowl in the Tampa Bay area. Shoes are always free. There's a real big-time special every single day. Every Tuesday is Pizza Bowl. That starts at 9 p.m. Enjoy unlimited pizza and bowling for just $10.99. Every day, Monday is Dollar Mania. Go to pinchasers.net where you can reserve a lane, see all the daily specials. And this is going to be a fun podcast here. We roll on, as you know, year-round on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Listen at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podbean, wherever, Stitcher. Leave a review. Ira loves to see the feedback. And here's Ira.
So, Steve, let's put it in perspective. They led the league in penalties, and they led the league in giveaways. That's a daily double.
All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is on the sage. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the prince of Pasco County, Uncle Ira. I just can't call you Uncle Ira.
Who came up with this Uncle Ira? Where did that come from? I thought I was the sage.
Don't you listen to your own podcast? Lee discussed this with D. Orlando Ledbetter.
Yes, D. Orlando Ledbetter saw one of our Twitters about you making an appearance somewhere, and he retweeted it with Uncle Ira exclamation point. I thought that was perfect.
We can't be taking our stance from a guy who wears a bow tie, gentlemen. We can't be doing that.
Now, without your prodding, he about 3 or 4 days ago tweeted something about John Lynch saying, we got to get this guy in the Hall.
I like that. I did like that. I did see that. I also saw Clark Judge, who's a voter, and he's got that Talk of Fame network or whatever, put out his top 5 takeaways from the weekend, and one of them is kind of like, maybe Lynch can get in down the line as a general manager. I didn't like that, Isbits. Boo, Clark Judge. Boo.
All right, Sage. Well, we'll talk about the Hall of Fame stuff that's heating up soon. Of course, that's your voice. That was the other voice, was Lee DeKemper, your cohort here on the podcast, along with me here, Ira Steve Isbits.
Good to have you back, Steve.
You guys do a fantastic job. I even listen to your podcast more than you do, Ira.
Thank you, my friend.
Unbelievable. All right, now, as we've all heard, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles, right up the block, mile north from Raymond James Stadium. Now, Ira, I've seen you driving around. I'm assuming it's your wife with you. 2020 Ford Escape.
I heard that, Nisbet. I heard it.
Was this when the cops had him pulled over?
That was a very subtle line you snuck in there. You assume it's my wife.
What's with this cherry red? Is this your brand new Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford?
Nisbet, this is what it's all about. And I'm going to refer to politics right here because it's a beautiful analogy. I'm no longer talking about hearsay. I'm talking about firsthand experience. I don't need hearsay about the 2020 Ford Escape, especially a cherry red one that my wife and I are now driving around with, which is fantastic. Best car we've ever had. She's in love with it. We're afraid to take it out because the Yahoos are driving around, and we don't want to get skinned by it.
Well, you are the Prince of Pasco County.
And New Year's Eve, we went up to Spring Hill, which the Kemper knows well, and we didn't take the Escape because it's amateur night, and we didn't want to take any chances. So we take my car. It is a fantastic vehicle. You know, we went in there last week, did a podcast, and after the podcast, Sean had one of his guys spend 20 minutes with me. All I had to do was fill out a couple of papers, and we took it. He explained the features, and I come to find out we needed an hour instead of 20 minutes because it's got so many features. And as we go along, we're learning more and more about this car. Fantastic vehicle.
Ira, I know that since you always like to say, get your buns down to Bill Curry Ford, you've got those seat warmers. Everything's toasty on the bottom.
I got the seat warmers. I don't care if it's 75 degrees. I'm using the seat warmers because it feels so good.
I was going to mention that, but you know what? I'm not going to go there now.
6 months worth of Sirius for free. You know, now I got it on my car. Now my wife's got it when she drives the Escape.
So she can listen to you on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio.
Absolutely.
With Russo.
I'll be on Thursday with Russo because he's not here Tuesday and Wednesday, but I'll be on Thursday at 5 o'clock.
What does she listen to on Sirius?
Elvis.
Is that right?
Elvis, yeah. Now, I got Bette Midler on my thing, so she's got Elvis, and we're all set.
When you go to Vegas this fall, when the Bucks play there.
Oh, and I am going.
When you go to Vegas, I will take you to the Elvis Hotel. And it's now the Westgate, but that's where Elvis, that was his hotel. It's classic old school Vegas, the big old chandeliers.
Nice. Everything.
It's pretty cool. And they used to have a mini Elvis museum there, but the Presley family didn't like it. But there's a monument there in the lobby of Elvis. That was his home hotel.
Nice. That's where I'll show you the impact of this vehicle, Steve. And it's been less than a week. People are making New Year's resolutions left and right. And my wife turns to me the other day and goes, I want to go to Graceland. You got to take me to Graceland.
Whoa.
What's going on here, Isbeth? Plus, we got a new dog coming. We're going to take the dog to Graceland.
We'll get to the dog, Sage. I wanted to mention, anybody can listen to our podcast. It's a new year. We started these podcasts in 2016. Now it's 2020,
yeah,
Ira.
Yeah, that's a lot of podcasts.
And as everybody heard in the last podcast, our brand new sponsor on the podcast and at JoeBucksFan.com, Big Storm Brewery with their tap rooms in Odessa and in Clearwater. Anybody can find the great Big Storm beer on their Storm Tracker, which is right at JoeBucksFan.com or at the Big Storm website. And the big location, 12707 49th Street North, just south of Ulmerton Road. Our big draft party is going to be there, Ira.
You know what I noticed the other day, Steve? I was coming home from Bay News 9. I was going west on Ulmerton. And when I got to 49th Street, I saw a sign on the right side of the road, like a, you know, a county sign. And it said Big Storm Brewery, left turn. That is credibility right there.
One day they'll have one of those with your grave. Ira will say Ira Kaufman's grave.
Lee.
You're an icon.
It's New Year's and he's talking about me croaking already.
Hey, I firmly believe this is my last decade walking the face of the earth. I firmly believe that. So, you know, it's melancholy for me. Like,
you
okay.
Got to promise me you will get me the deluxe casket.
My goal, and I've said this
and
before.
And I want to be buried in the buck in the parking lot at One Buck Place. That seems appropriate. Right under the flag. Right under that buck flag.
Ira, my goal is for you to go 50 years covering the NFL, 40 years with this team, and I want to get you in the Ring of Honor. I want you in the Ring of Honor. That's my goal, but you got to stick it out. We need you.
I'll take a little plaque in the press box.
No. Ring of Honor.
Doesn't the guy who hired you at the Tribune, doesn't he have a plaque there?
McEwen?
Yeah.
That's in the Lightning. He's got the press box's name, the Tom McEwen press box.
Now, he does have a street, right?
Yeah, he does. Tom McEwen Way. Yeah.
Right in front of the stadium.
Right in front of the stadium.
All right, Sage. I was listening to the last podcast, and I had a small brain issue, so I wrote some things down that I had to
hold
get
on,
to.
I got to sip my mimosa over here, Stevie.
All right. So first I'm gonna get to this, Ira, because I need you to explain this to me, and I think it's a fair question, and it's under my skin. So the Buccaneers, right, they led the NFL in penalties.
Okay. Yeah.
Number one in the NFL.
33, yeah.
So when you're number one in the NFL in penalties, and you have the largest coaching staff in the league, a veteran staff that you handpicked, and you've got a lot of veterans on your team in leadership positions, veteran offensive line, veteran quarterback, veteran receivers, you've got...
veteran linebacker.
You got a very experienced defensive line with key cogs, you got Lavonne David in the middle of the whole thing. Is this just a crappy coaching job? And I did not hear Arians once really say that we didn't do a good job coaching this team. 133 penalties to lead the league with this staff? That's deplorable.
It's a black mark on the coaching staff, and it's a big one. It's a big black mark. And you can blame the players all you want, but I think it goes to they got to change the way they practice. That's on the coaches, too. I'm not blaming just the players. They got to be better prepared. The pre-snap penalties... Lee, that is a sign that this is not a well-coached team in some aspects. The coaching staff has to accept their responsibilities and their share of the blame for this, Lee. It's not all on little Donovan Smith and sorry.
You know, this is a very interesting subject. We can go all kinds of ways there. We could do a whole podcast on this. I'm glad you brought this up, Steve. This is very intriguing. I never thought of it the way Steve thought of it. We've talked about this being not penalties specifically, But we talked about culture, and I'm not a big culture guy. But I think the following phrase has been stated on this podcast, if not by me, by one of us or maybe one of our guests. You know, the Bucks were an ill-disciplined team when Arians took it over, you know, with Cutter and before that with Lovey. Is it just as simple as you can't coach dumb?
I don't think so. I'm not buying it, Lee. I'm not buying your excuses for number three, and now I'm not buying your excuses for the coaching staff. That's a whole other subject, the Kemper. Steve, they're not on the details enough. The coaching staff's not on the details enough.
They got 30 coaches.
I can't go there.
30 coaches.
I didn't say they need more coaches. I said they're not on the details, the ones they have.
I can't even go there because the team's improved on the field, the play, so much. That's details. But there's something about the penalties. I think it's as simple as can't coach stupid. I mean, yeah, they brought in new players, but there's still a core.
Why is New England always in the bottom five of penalties? Year after year, the players come and go. Nobody churns their roster like the Patriots.
This is why I'm asking you and Lee. I don't know the answer, but to me, I look at a giant coaching staff, an experienced staff. Let me tell you something. Joe Gilbert, you know, the offensive line coach, he was talking on the Buccaneers radio network, and he explained that he and Harold Goodwin literally split up the line where Gilbert was in charge. I hope I don't mix this up. Gilbert was in charge of tackles, and the other guy
was in charge of the interior.
Goodwin was in charge of the interior. No other team that I know of has done that. They've got all these coaches everywhere.
Got to find and work for all these coaches, you know.
And I just think it's just bad news on the coaching. Now, last year, Dirk Cutter's motto, Lee brought this up, was discipline-driven. They all came out in T-shirts and training camp, discipline-driven. That was the motto. And last year, we all would have said this past spring that it was a terribly undisciplined team, penalties, killing themselves, drive killers.
Clock management.
Last year, they had 117 penalties for 975 yards. This year, 133 penalties, another one per game for 1,111 yards.
That's another 200 yards.
Yeah. Crazy.
Now, most of the penalties, if I recall correctly, because I wrote the story about this on JoeBucksFan.com, most of the penalties were defensive penalties, pass interference and holding, which is first down. You know, those are drive makers.
I'd like to say that the penalties decreased as the season went on, but I'm not even sure that that's true, Steve. I think the last few games they had 10, 12 penalties.
Sloppy.
It's part of Bucks beating Bucks. It's a big part of it.
That's what I mean. And I'm glad you said that, Ira. You know, Arians, that's a great quote that he came up with when he first got hired. And it continues. And I'm starting to think, I know one of us have said this. And I don't know if it's accurate or not, but, you know, the phrase, you can't coach stupid, maybe that applies here.
You know what I thought was the best line out of Monday? And we'll talk about all this misinterpretation involving what Arians said about Winston. But I thought my takeaway, and I can just see you, Isbits, watching the video of Arians and saying, attaboy, Ira, because who else is saying, what's your message to Buck fans, Bruce? This is a battered fan base. They've been through a lot, a bunch of different coaches before you ever got here. What's your message? And he said, when we stop beating ourselves, we'll be tough to beat. That's a hell of a line.
Yeah, on the radio network, he promised Bucks fans, I promise you, he said, I promise you, we will not beat ourselves next year. And it all ties together, but
they
I don't
sure
know.
Did.
They did it, and it shouldn't have happened this year.
It shouldn't have happened this year.
So that's what makes it very surprising to me. Just for the record, Ira, they didn't like it too much at $1, but in 2015, before you joined our August organization, you like to call it, Lovie Smith's team was on pace for the NFL record in penalties. They were on pace very close for a while, and I used to write about that every week. And, of course, that didn't come from Bucks Media Relations.
This was Winston's first year under center.
2015, correct. And they didn't get there. They cleaned it up a little late. They made it to 143 penalties.
Wow.
Which was one of the highest totals in a long time. This year's Bucks, 133. And look at all those veterans. Now, Jason Light likes to say,
now, that was a year that Donovan Smith and Marpet were rookies.
Rookies, yep. Yeah, rookies. Rookie quarterback. Jason Light likes to say, and I've heard, you know, the numbers always change, but that this year's Bucks were maybe the second youngest team in the league. But
I'm tired of hearing that.
It's a misnomer because of who's actually, I think, on the field. It's an interesting subject.
I think.
When you say it for 10 years in a row, I don't think it's a source of pride, Lee. I just don't.
If I recall correctly, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, of the 12 teams with the most penalties, only one made the playoffs.
That's nice.
You guys, when you talk about, I'll pull it up on my phone.
Turnover ratio, and now you're saying it with the penalties. also.
Yeah, it's a bad combination.
I mean, different years, different times. Sometimes teams with a lot of penalties make the playoffs. Seattle always has a lot of penalties.
But they always had the talent back then to overcome it.
But one thing. Bingo. Now, yeah, and I do remember, granted,
with Michael Bennett, those teams, they made a lot of penalties.
Years ago, and I'll be first to admit, it was a different era of football.
The Raiders.
Raiders, exactly. Yeah, Raiders. They didn't care.
But they had guys that end up in the Hall of Fame.
And the flip side, I can already hear Bucks fans listening to this, driving down the road. The flip side to the Seattle argument is, yeah, you know why they can afford all those penalties? Because Russell Wilson throws six picks a year. That's why. So there's that.
Steve, in terms of the Raiders, like in the 70s, you know, their heyday, and the early 80s, part of their game was intimidation. They didn't mind, roughing the passer. Because remember the Al Davis thing? The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard within the first 10 minutes of every game. That's Al Davis's mantra. He didn't mind a roughing the passer penalty. He thought in the end, it's going to help you.
All right, Sage. Also, just last on that, Arians 2017, his Arizona team, 110 penalties. And the year before that, 104 penalties. When you're over 95, 96, when you're over 6 a game, that's not good. So just something that might be worth watching.
I just pulled it up on my phone. Yes.
I'm not used to DeKemper doing this kind of analytical research over here, Stevie.
No, to me, analytical research is when you come up with these made-up acronyms, and one of the acronyms is A for adjusted. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Every time you got to use adjusted, it's like, I hit the brakes. Like, stop. Of the teams with the most penalties.
Go ahead.
Top 12 teams. One, New Orleans made the playoffs.
That's outstanding, DeKemper. Outstanding. So, Steve, let's put it in perspective. They led the league in penalties, and they led the league in giveaways. That's a daily double. That's a daily double.
And then penalties, yeah.
Wow.
All right, Sage. Look, let me shift gears. Something you mentioned that I can't believe it. And maybe you got to tell me. I'll pull an Ira Kaufman line, and I'll say, you tell me where I'm wrong. On the last podcast, Ira, you talked about this grand fall of Tom Brady. He's fallen sharply. Let me read you a couple numbers, Ira.
Go ahead.
Brady, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions,
okay.
4,000 yards passing. He's got the 7th leading scoring offense in the league. 0 deep threat on the darn roster. He's got one wide receiver who catches short balls in Edelman. No deep threat, no Gronkowski. The guy had a great season with what he had to work with. Steve, I don't understand the fall.
I got a two-word answer. I'm looking right at the Kemper when I say it. Eye test. I watch Brady. Point. I don't see any zip on the ball, Lee. And I think if you crowd within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage and dare him to beat you deep, I think the Patriots are going to be in a lot of trouble.
Because he has no deep threat. Who's their deep threat, Ira?
They need a Gronkowski right now, and they don't have him.
They had a guy
who
caught 100 balls in Edelman, and nobody else caught 30.
I'll say this, Lee. The reason that the Patriots won the number of games they did was because they had the best scoring defense in the league. And I can't believe, in that regard, how they frittered that late lead away at home to Miami. That's inexplicable.
I was shocked to hear
that. Your boy Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, I think is going to end up with a 20-year NFL career. I mean, the guy is had quite an amazing career, but the more you watch him, you know, the more he gets exposed. But in short bursts, when he's hot, he's as hot as anybody. I'm standing by my Brady. I think he's declined markedly, Lee. I just do.
I can't comment educationally on that, informed on that, because I just don't watch the Patriots. I'm so sick of them. They're on TV. I don't watch. They're in the Super Bowl. I don't watch.
I would.
Honestly.
I'm going to go out right now and say it. Maybe I need one more drink of mimosa here. I would not fall off my chair if Brady's allowed to go test free agency next year. I think Belichick is that ruthless.
Oh, he is ruthless.
If he has what he thinks is a viable option, right now he doesn't. But if he does and picks up somebody in free agency, he could part company with Brady in a heartbeat.
Well, would Bob Kraft let him?
That's a good one.
Now, Parcells is being ruthless. We all know about Tyquan Underwood, you know, the guy with the hair.
Yeah.
And he was cut on the eve of the Super Bowl. Cut on the eve of the Super Bowl.
No ring.
Yeah. And I just read something just this past week. I can't remember the player's name, but the guy, it's Christmas Day. He's got his family at his house. They're having a big celebration, you know. Kids open up the presents, a big to-do. He gets a call from Parcells. Bill Belichick, we had to release you today. Click.
I think
nothing else. Just bye.
Guys, I think if the Patriots reach the AFC title game, and if you do that, they got to win a big divisional round game on the road, probably in Kansas City. If they do that, then maybe Brady's safe. But if they lose the wild card game to Tennessee or get drubbed in the divisional round. I could see them moving on. I could see it.
Yeah, the Bob Kraft angle is interesting because supposedly.
I don't know if Kraft will stand up to Brady like that. Well,
you know, Ira, if he has a massage.
For Garoppolo.
If he gets a massage first.
Boy, Ismitz is in some mood today, Lee.
Well, it's a whole other story. Apparently, why do we keep saying Parcells?
You keep saying Parcells.
Yeah, Belichick wanted Garoppolo, and Kraft said no.
Well, you know, as Lee says, he likes to use the word handsy. We'll leave it at that.
I just named Garoppolo as my comeback player of the year as a voter for Associated Press in the All Pro.
He was your comeback player of the year without Jason Pierre-Paul?
Jimmy Garoppolo. Torn ACL last year.
No,
torn
I understand.
ACL.
You have to not play the year before.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm teasing you, Ira. Teasing you. All right. You brought something up else as well, and I wanted you and Lee
another one that sticks in your craw?
Yeah, sticks in my craw, because these are important points.
You got
very
a big craw
points.
Over there.
Big craw.
I know you're waiting for it. Not craw!
Well, at least your craw fits in your beautiful Ford Escape, Ira.
Thank
2020
you, my friend.
From Bill Curry Ford.
Cherry red.
You said, quote, Ira, you said, quote, saving grace. The, quote, saving grace of Jameis Winston is his work ethic, that he never stops working. Nobody questions it. He's first in, last out. You've heard it from everybody all over the place. That's his, quote, saving grace. Now, I just have to ask you and Lee, and I'm going to step out of the way. I say that that's his downfall. Because when you've got this guy who's done everything he can and he still can't progress, that's what we call a ceiling most of the time. So I don't know how it's a saving grace.
You see how Isbitz always turns things on its head? The Kemper. It's a beautiful thing on this podcast. Lee, all I'm saying is you would think in general terms that all that kind of hard work is going to be ultimately rewarded. That's all I'm saying, Lee. In the grand scheme of things, no matter what vocation you're in, if you put the time in and you put the effort in and you strive to get better to that degree, you think ultimately it's going to pay off, Lee. That's all I'm saying.
Except in a dying industry like journalism. You work your rear end off, you ain't going to get anywhere.
But the NFL's not a dying industry.
No, that's true.
You think Winston's reached his ceiling, Lee? I mean,
Steve's on to something. I don't fully disagree. That work has paid off with help from the coaches. There's an example. I think they're getting, at least James is getting good coaching. You can see his footwork's better, his mechanics are better. You can tell he's more of a smoother player. But the interceptions, they spiked. You know, why that is, well, if I knew that. I wouldn't be on your podcast, Ira. I'd be working for the Bucks, seven figures.
Steve, I could argue that they're scoring 28, 29 points a game. Shouldn't that be good enough? That's the old DeKemper argument.
I'm not arguing against Jameis. I'm arguing against that somehow his work ethic saves him. I mean, you said ultimately rewarded. Well, you could argue maybe he's hit his ceiling. He did a lot of good things. Maybe this is the best of Jameis.
Well, all right. I'm going to look at it like that. Lee, I'm going to look at it like this. If he didn't have this kind of work ethic,
he's gone.
I think he'd be dumped right now.
Yeah. If he was Josh Freeman, you know, that was a con job we got sold on us. Freeman was a hard worker.
If Arians didn't think the guy wanted to be great, he'd be gone right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons, because he knew Jameis. He knew about this work ethic. He knew him from Alabama. That's one reason why he wanted to work with him. He's like, oh, I know this guy's going to work his tail off. He's going to give me 110%. Yeah, the thing about Freeman, that was a total con job the Bucks sold us on. Oh, he works hard. I come into the office. There he is on the field. I called Mr. Glazer, and Joel said, well, they know what they're supposed to do. And it was a complete con job.
He wasn't driven. Josh Freeman was
not
driven.
No, he was a complete con. Jameis is driven.
Steve, you make a good point, and it's unclear right now whether Arians can get that aggressive gene out of Winston's mind. I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, I've told this story, I think, a couple of years ago, but one of my favorite lines I ever got from Rondé Barber was when I asked him about Freeman and his work ethic. Because we heard, I listen to everything on the Buccaneers radio, and players would talk about how Barrett Rood and Freeman would have this sort of little unspoken challenge of who would get there at 5:30 in the morning.
Barrett Rood?
Yeah. And Freeman was known for that work ethic, and I asked Barber about it, and he said, oh, he's here. He's here all the time. I'm not sure really what he's doing or if he's working smart, but
Steve,
he's here.
I think that all changed starting in about 2011. I think it all changed. I think it all went downhill for whatever reasons you want to come up with. I think he was distracted. There were other factors at play. He did not have the same work ethic.
Well, the quote from Barber came in 2012. But who knows? Either way, I don't think it's on par with Jameis, so it doesn't really matter.
Now, a lot of people, and I'm not trying to lump Jameis into the group I'm going to talk about here with work ethic. We get a lot of comments on Joe Bucks fan, especially when I go after a borderline NFL player that you could argue shouldn't be on the roster. Oh, he works hard. I don't give a damn. It's all about production. If you're not producing, I don't give a damn how hard you work because you're not getting the job done. I mean, I run, and Steve loves this analogy, and I say it all the time. Plumbers work hard. Would you hire one of those guys? Sorry, Lou. Would you hire one of those guys to be your running back? Hell no. Not going after poor Richie Lou. Poor Richie Lou's a, but he's a solid dude. But I'm just, as an example, construction workers, you name it. There's all kinds of people in all kinds of occupations maybe, that work their tail off. You sure as hell wouldn't hire him to be a linebacker.
Maybe I'm reading too much into, because I've talked to this guy a lot about Winston over the last couple of years, and the guy is unwavering. Damar Dotson, he makes a lot of sense. He doesn't put up with any foolishness, Dotson. He's a pro. He's a pro. And he has never wavered in his support for Winston. Never once. Even with the 30 interceptions. I asked him the other day, after the 30 interceptions, he still thinks Winston's the guy to lead this franchise to the promised land. Maybe I'm reading too much into Damar Dotson.
The reason I laughed, I can't picture Damar Dotson grabbing someone by the neck and say, fool, knock it off, and throw him up against the locker. Yeah. I can't picture that.
Yeah, one could argue that Dotson has put up with more foolishness than anybody we know.
But he's seen a lot of foolishness.
He's seen a lot.
Way too much.
He has seen a lot. All right, Ari, let me throw these numbers at you. Jameis, this year, 7 home games, 19 interceptions.
The 7 games at Ray J, yeah.
7 games at home, 19 interceptions in Tampa. That's extraordinary.
It is.
By any measure.
Wow.
And, 6 in the last 2 games.
You know, coaches have acknowledged he doesn't play well at home. Jameis has acknowledged trying to do too much, whatever.
And most of his pick sixes have come at home, right?
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Again, 19 interceptions, 7 home games. Wow. That's tough.
He needs to shrink.
But now here's this, though. This is the part that is, to me, is interesting. Last year, 5 home games, 4 picks. The year before, 2017, 7 home games, 7 picks. So he's running at a 2.5 times clip than what he used to do at
home. So it's not a long time trend.
No, it's this year. That's troubling with all these great coaches and 2 Pro Bowl receivers, the O-line.
And, of course, they went 2-5 in those games.
Yeah, so it's bizarre. I don't know how that's going to affect the whole home game thing. It's got to make Arians wonder at another level. But what do you think?
Well, it goes into another big point that we've been hammering the Bucks about for years is win some freaking home games. Lee, that's how you generate fan interest. You know, if you're not going to win 10 or 11 games.
What's the point?
At least go 6-2 at home and they're watching you play well in person.
And they're entertained. Yeah.
Instead, you know, and these last 2 games certainly didn't help in that regard. Oh, my God. I'll say it again, guys. And I was stunned when I looked it up. I mean, I was shocked. 11 years without a winning home record. The next team is 4. The Jets. Is that the company you want to be keeping?
It's crazy.
Jets.
Every Bucks fan
11
knows.
11 years in a row?
Yeah, I've been writing about that for I don't know how long.
That's why you've called it the Den of Depression.
Exactly. That's why I
call it that too, Ira. That's what it is. It's the Den of Depression.
And nobody should argue. Nobody should.
No,
the
Bucks used to argue with us. You know,
they gave up.
I think it was Cutter in 2017 was so mad at the nickname.
Oh, he said it in a press conference.
And then, of course, you know, we always maintain the same thing. Just win more than you lose at home. We'll kill it. Win a nickname forever.
I got a text last year. I believe it was last year. Maybe it was this year. I got a text from a suit at the Bucks.
Unidentified. Unnamed.
Yeah, because he didn't expect it to be public knowledge. And among the things he was texting me about, and none of them were pleasant, one of them was, and that damn name, Den of Depression.
That got under their skin.
And I replied, can you win 5 games at home? And it goes away.
Nicely
it goes
done.
Away.
And, of course, last year they won their first 2 home games, including beating the Eagles 2-0. We're calling it Den of Depression because you got to call it the what it is until you change it.
I got 2 things for you about Freeman. Jeez. Some people do call him Freeman. Jameis Winston.
Parcells? Once you mentioned Parcells.
Yeah, first is Parcells and it's Freeman.
Go ahead.
I hear 2 things from our readers about these pick sixes and Jameis's picks in general. One of them is, when is Leftwich going to wake up and quit calling for the short to the sideline pass?
Or the short slant over the middle.
When's he going to stop doing that?
Yeah.
Because I've had more than a few people think, well, Leftwich isn't doing Jameis a whole lot of favors. It's clear he's struggling with that pass, so why do you keep calling it? I want your response to that.
I say right on. These guys know what they're talking about. I think the best pass he throws is that seam pass. Look at his bits.
I agree
with you.
He's
not going to give him any credit.
I've heard you say this already. Look, those passes, I'll just say this. They're a staple of NFL offense.
But to Lee's point, he doesn't put enough zip on that sideline.
I get it, but...
Which is weird, because he's got that 95, and we've seen it. We've seen him rifle balls.
But I think the key is the decision-making. Just don't throw it. I don't know.
Or the timing.
Yeah. Now, here's another one I hear. I want your response to this. Jameis completed those passes in previous seasons because he was targeting Humphreys. He doesn't have Humphreys anymore. Your response?
I give that 20% cred. To me, if I remember right, most of Humphreys' catches were in the middle of the field rather than that long sideline pass. They round. You know, some of these guys, the Scotty Millers of the world, round off that pass and don't run a proper route. Even Perryman on occasion. But the ultimate responsibility is number three, and I'm sticking with it.
On that realm, when I was hearing Lee, and I think you agreed a little bit, Ira, I've heard Lee say that the West Coast offense probably suits Jameis best. And that got my thought process was the next step of, well, if that's true, then in my mind, I got to call Jason Light an idiot because you just hired Dirk Cutter and Bruce Arians, and they don't run a West Coast offense.
They run a Coryell offense.
So if that's true, then the GM really dropped the ball from here to Bill Curry Ford.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Steve. Of course, you know, Light's motivation in terms of getting Bruce Arians at one buck place, it's multi-layered.
Yeah.
It's multi-layered. So you got to put that into account. Maybe they thought that Winston could thrive with the quarterback whisperer in Arians' preferred offense, but Lee, it didn't happen in a certain regard.
In one respect, he's fabulous. In other respect,
you know,
grotesque.
they still score 28 points a game, Lee. I mean, you can't get around
that.
Yeah,
and I've written about this. I think I wrote about it the fifth or sixth week of the season. And I came at the time they led the league in points scored. I'm like, whoa. And I wrote at the time, I was like, man, this offense does not pass the eye test, but they're getting results.
Gay makes two of those field goals. They get 28 on Sunday. Now, seven of them came on a fumble return. I understand that. Yeah.
All right, speaking of Gay, Ira, now, the field goal kicker. You're making a face.
I'm making a face.
All right. The field goal kicker, Bruce Arians, stood in front of the podium. And I said this to Lee off camera here, not that we have cameras, thankfully. I said this to Lee. Bruce Arians is up there saying, you know what? He misses in that end zone all the time, and that's the tough place to kick. And you better believe he's going to be out there practicing all day long.
I don't want to see him at one buck place anymore at practice.
Ira. Falcons kicker didn't have any issue kicking outside of the field.
Ira, simple question and I need a Brooklyn answer.
I'm not even sure I want this question.
Not your Newport Richie answer, your Brooklyn answer to this question.
What's a Newport Richie answer?
If your guy is struggling in the freaking end zone, why does he have to practice all spring and summer? Why wasn't he out there all October, November, and
December? Forget about it. Bits, that's the answer I'm
Brooklyn.
Giving you. That comes right from, Neptune Avenue. Forget about it. First of all, can't you make any adjustments in the north end zone? Can't you? You know, how bad is the wind? What is this, Green Bay, Wisconsin? I mean, come on, take it easy.
Wide left.
I'm tired of looking at it.
Don't they have the keys to the stadium? Don't they have the keys to go in there and practice? Why can't Gay live there during practice?
You think Brian Ford's not going to let the man into the stadium? I mean, come on now.
Well, I remember Light said there was a couple of days, you know, we asked, where's Matt Gay? Oh, he's kicking at the stadium.
I can't remember which end he missed against the Giants. Which end was it?
Same end.
Yeah. Well, Arians goofed that whole thing up. I mean, you know, taking a loss on purpose.
This is the ultimate team sport, but I'll say it here and then. He cost the Bucks two games this year.
Run, I know, a Giant.
He cost the Bucks two games this year.
What's the second game?
Sunday.
Oh, hey, you think so?
He makes two out of those three. I'm not even asking for all three.
Are you talking about Gay or Arians?
I'm talking about Gay. Make two field goals and the Bucks win the game.
Yes, I thought you were talking about Arians, but yeah, I agree with you.
No, I'm talking about that. Yeah, he missed eight field goals. I mean, that's a big number.
No, it's a big number.
You know how many Justin Tucker missed? One.
Again, you can't compare guys to Hall of Famers, but I know the kickers typically go to the stadium once a week to see if the grass is different and get their feel, but he should have been going more often.
They missed five extra points, Lee.
They've got one of these 30 coaches could held his hand to go over there. He's got a dedicated kicking coach.
I think, generally speaking, sometimes his kicks are too low. They're too low.
You know why the Bucks are horrible at home? They've got too many freaking players that can't play in that stadium. Jameis? All of a sudden, and this Gay. You know, get some players that can play in the stadium. This should be
part of your draft profile. Yeah, Who likes Raymond James Stadium? Yeah.
Have you played in the Outback before? Okay,
you're in. if anybody plays well with Auburn or Minnesota, draft them. I'm drafting them.
I must say, I had mentioned the last podcast, Ira, your line of the Glazers and the sponge cake. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
What was it? I can't even remember.
I don't even remember. But you can go back, you can go back and listen. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Ira gets into some chatter about
Steve,
the Glazers.
Has a week gone by since maybe the start of the 2016 season? Has 1 week gone by that we did not put two podcasts up for our fans?
No, sometimes we've done three, and we always pull it off.
I don't know that we've missed 1 week, Lee.
No. I thought there was one that we recorded that I won't mention the name of the place, and you and I were trying to be quiet, and the audio was so terrible, it was like we were whispering.
We made up for
Maybe
it,
Maybe it's a reflection that we don't take any vacations, Steve.
We
don't go anywhere.
We made up for
I'm trying to get to Micanopy, if you guys know where Micanopy is.
Oh, I've never heard of
don't
it.
Don't they have the... Don't they have the nude waitresses with the donut shop over there?
What?
It's all right off I-75. Cafe Risque or something on your way to Gainesville?
Well, if we're talking donuts, I hope it's a waitress and not waitress.
I know where the Kemper's going after this freaking podcast. I can tell you that right now. He's hopping on I-75. Now, it's about a 90-mile drive over there at the Kemper. Am I wrong? Isn't there some place called Cafe Risque?
I surely hope there's not a waiter that's nude that serves donuts.
Well,
I'm just going to leave it at that.
There's a good chance that the podcast will open with that line, Ira.
I'm not making that up. I think it could. Well, get on your phone over there, DeKemper. You're always on your phone.
I don't need to know that.
All right, continue.
All right. Too much information.
Now, are you going to mention my dog, or you're not going to mention my dog? What's going on here? We're all excited.
Anthony Becht, the former Buccaneers tight end.
Becht. Hey, by the way, he sent me a direct message the other day. Anthony Becht. I was stunned to get it and very happy.
What do you owe him?
He said, great coverage this year, Ira. Now, I was mad he didn't call me Sage, but he said Ira. And I replied and thanked him. You know, Becht reads us like a hawk. And he listens to us like a hawk.
Ira, anybody paying attention does.
And
come on.
Becht speaks his mind, too.
He reads us more than you do.
Steve, that's a good one, Steve. Becht speaks his mind. He's not afraid.
Exactly. So he jumped on radio on Monday, did his little thing on local radio that he does, and made it very clear he believes the Bucs should just flat out move on from Jameis Winston, go all in to sign Teddy Bridgewater. Because
that's his thing.
He believes that, and he was a pro Jameis guy all season, Becht, all season. He's also been a pro Bridgewater guy for a few reasons, which make it interesting. One, you know, Becht left the Buccaneers radio network. He does preseason and other stuff for the Jets, and he played for the Jets. So he has his connections there, and he was around camp all summer long when Bridgewater was there last year as a member of Todd Bowles' team, and we watched Bridgewater, and Becht made it very clear that Bridgewater was the best quarterback by far in Jets camp, but they drafted Darnold, and that's the way they were going, and then they traded him to the Saints. But he said, look, you don't need a 5,000-yard quarterback to win, and he thinks that the Bucs should trade for a smarter, better leader and a better quarterback play overall.
Interestingly, I think he's clearly better at Winston at protecting the football, but at the same time, Lee, he doesn't fit the Arians profile of a big, strong-armed quarterback who gets the ball downfield. That is not Bridgewater's forte, was with Carson Palmer and Winston. It would be a change of philosophy,
and
I
Manning
believe, for
and
Arians.
Luck.
Yeah.
You know what? And I was going to ask you about that. And also, isn't Bridgewater a little bit on the brittle side?
Not recently, but he did have a serious injury.
Yeah, Minnesota.
He did.
Here's one to throw out there. It may never happen. I'm just throwing it out there. Arians claims he's going to look all over the place for a quarterback and see what options are out there. Door number two. That was a great line.
Door number two.
You know, Monty Hall. Who was the woman that worked with him? The precursor to Price.
It was Parcells. No. I forgot her name.
Something Marsha or Clark. Marsha Clark.
Not Marsha Clark. All right. So anyway, you're talking about Bridgewater. And
here's one to think about. Here's one to think about. You think Andrew Luck gets an itch to play again?
Especially with a chance under Arians?
Yeah.
Well.
You know, obviously the Colts have his rights, but.
It certainly would fit the profile of the great DeKemper question, which I've been listening to for about a year. Who are you going to get that's better? Who are you going to get that's better? That's been Lee's main argument. It's a good argument. Who are you going to get that's an upgrade on Jameis Winston?
Well, Luck would be.
And Luck would be.
Well, you know, Luck's supposedly bouncing around Europe. Maybe he gets bored hitchhiking through Europe.
That seems like a long shot.
I believe. Oh, of course it would. Trade for him.
You'd have to trade.
And I don't think Lee believes that Bridgewater would be an upgrade on Winston. I don't think Lee thinks that way.
I think a lot of
Buck fans do think that way.
Well, they look at the numbers, and you know, God knows today's age, if you can't slap a friggin' number on something, it's worthless, you know?
Steve, let's get back to what you said about Becht. I mean, it's worth focusing on for a second. The guy has always been a Winston supporter, and now he has flipped. I think there's a lot of people out there just like Becht,
yeah,
without his football acumen, who feel the same way. They flipped on Winston. Now, there's a danger in going too much about the comments that are on Joe Buck's fan. Steve, you've always told me that you're always going to get the people that are carping. They're the majority of the people that are going to comment. But, Steve, you look at the comments. It's part of your job. And
so we don't get sued for libel.
The Winston meter is about 20% positive right now, 20 to 30%.
I disagree. We're going to run a poll, Ira, and we are recording this before the big Winston poll that's coming. You know, I don't know, Ira. I don't know. There's a lot of layers to the Jameis thing. Now, Becht didn't say Jameis isn't going to have a job in the league next year.
Right.
He just believes that it's time to move on, and he likes the Bridgewater option, thinks it's better. But one thing you'll hear from all the ex-players is they always believe that, you know what, some guys just need a change of scenery. Players really buy into that. It wasn't a fit there, and especially a guy like Becht who played for four or five teams. So I think that's part of this.
I think part of Becht's philosophy at this point, Lee, is he's had his year with Arians, and he didn't show marked improvement.
Well, I can't go that way.
And he didn't get better as the season went on, necessarily. Pointing to the last two
games. He choked like a dog in the last two games. Bad.
Well, I haven't heard the Kemper say that.
Oh, he did. He was terrible, with the exception of that Joe Montana-esque play to Perryman, which was beautiful. But
Lee keeps trying to compare that to the Dwight Clark catch over here. Now, I was at the Dwight Clark catch. It catapulted the 49ers dynasty, and I don't believe it's going to do the same thing for the Bucks over here at the Kemper.
No, it's a similar.
But you also said Perryman's catch was better than Clark's.
Well, I thought it was more contested.
Yeah, Dwight Clark couldn't jump like that. But it was a phenomenal catch, similar, except, you know, you do that in the big moment. It's different than...
And if it's picked off, people are screaming at Winston for throwing that ball.
Oh,
screaming,
yeah,
at him. Screaming at him. Why are you throwing that ball like that? And that would have been pick 31. Beautiful.
No, that would have been pick 30.
The game would have been
over. Oh,
31 was last
game.
They would have lost. That would have been pick 30.
By the way, you got to give Perryman his props. Played tremendous down the stretch. Absolutely tremendous.
Played tremendous. And one thing that gets me is I don't understand why Perryman would want to play here next year. I'm just trying to keep it real.
That's an excellent point,
Steve. Why would
he
want to play here?
Why do you want to be a number three?
Yeah, well, you could be a number two. Why would you want to be here?
Or even a number one with somebody.
Very good point, Stevie. And they'll pay him as a number three, the Bucks. They don't want
to
pay him.
No, they're not going to overpay Breshad Perryman for what? I don't understand.
Yeah, 31 other teams are looking at his tape from the last 6 weeks of the season saying, we want this guy.
Don't think John Lynch would want him?
Yeah, no question about it.
You don't think Tom Brady would want him? As we go back,
he showed aspects of his game that I had no idea Perryman had in terms of body control and sideline. You know, he looked like Chris Carter for
That's a perfect example. There was some good coaching on his team. You know, we talked about the penalties.
And another good pickup for Jason Light.
Plenty of good coaching. But look, Arians made it very clear in preseason, Ira. He said that for CBS last year, he called three Browns games, and he studied the Perryman film. He watched him play, and he thought, I can work with this guy. I can get him better, and he did. It wasn't a Jason Light thing. Arians said it himself.
And so you don't want to give Light Shaq Barrett either. What are we going to give Light?
Look,
you got to toss him a crumb.
I've said this to you before. The story. If you go back and listen to everything Bruce Arians said.
He drafted Jamel Dean. Give that to Light. You know, I mean.
I'm not taking away the draft picks. But if you
give him something.
You go back and listen to all of Arians' chatter from January to July. You could probably find once that he mentioned Jason Light. Even all those times he talked about personnel, it's as if Light doesn't even exist. It's me, I, we. It's never, Jason, good job. And that's just on the record.
On the face of it, Lee, on the face of it, Jason Light had a pretty good offseason last year. I mean, that's
better than he's had in a while.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if you don't mind not addressing the running game and not getting a veteran cornerback. Sure, he had a great offseason. Fantastic.
You guys were talking about how Becht like, for lack of a better term, turned on Jameis. The guy who really turned on Jameis, really turned, J.P. Peterson.
That was a stunner.
Yeah.
That was a shocker. No, nobody was a bigger advocate, even more than DeKemper, was J.P. Peterson. And he's seen enough. That's got to shake you up a little bit, Lee.
I was surprised.
All right, Ira, tell us about the dog. Now, we heard about a month
gender
ago.
Gender reveal.
I think it was, about a month ago that you had a dog coming.
From Plant City. Well, yeah.
And it was still in the oven.
That's right.
And I think
a dog breeder in Plant City.
I believe when you mentioned that back in November.
Maybe I should have Zach pick it up for me. Doesn't he? Isn't he out?
You sure you're going to get the dog then?
At the time, Lee had a fantastic line. He was worried about you that maybe you bought a chicken or a rooster.
No. It's a black and white Boston Terrier and a male. We just got the call.
So you didn't know that?
We got the call from the woman.
It's
a
boy.
We didn't know.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. That's your headline. It's a boy.
And when are you getting the dog, what's going on here?
I believe standard time is a month to 6 weeks. Give the little pup his shots. Try to train him a little bit. I don't want to crap him all over Casa Kaufman over here.
Or your brand new.
Or my brand. Yeah, I'm not putting him in that 2020 Ford Escape till I know he can handle himself over it. I'm not even sure I'm putting DeKemper in that Escape unless I know that he's gone to the men's room in the last couple hours. But we are very much looking forward to it because we lost Dante. I mean, 15 years, fantastic dog, got blind at the end. And when the vet says it's time, it's time. We still haven't gotten over it. So, my wife's family always had Boston Terriers.
Did they?
Yeah, her brother's got a new one. So we're very much looking forward to it. And we need a name, Steve. So I'm open to suggestions. Port Richie, Lou, Javier, all you guys, throw some names in there.
Well,
hat.
You seem enamored.
Dotson,
there you go.
That's not a bad one. Dotson's not a bad one. You seem enamored with Jamel Dean, so maybe just Dean. Come here, Dean. Come on, boy. Something like that. Now that we know it's a boy, we can hold it.
That'll never be out of position. Dean's always in position, baby. Always around the ball. But we're looking forward to, walking him up and down the street. And not so much in August, but, they're a lot of fun to be around. They're absolutely a lot of fun.
What's a good trait for Buster? Why are they so lovable dogs?
Well, you're over there, you're watching a Bette Midler concert on TV, and he crawls up into your lap, and then he takes a little nip at your left arm, and then you make an adjustment.
Since you brought that up, what desperate TV network would have actually broadcast a Bette Midler concert? Or is that pay-per-view?
That could be an HBO. They're having something about Linda Ronstadt today. You guys never heard of Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, I heard of her when
she was a looker in her day.
50 years ago.
She's got Parkinson's. What do you want from her, DeKemper?
All right, Ira. Parkinson's is not funny. Now, let's just wrap this up with summarize for the fans what you will be doing at the Hall of Fame this week. Now, forget about the announcements. We're not talking about that. When you go to the Hall of Fame this week on a special trip, as you are the only Hall of Fame voter in the Tampa Bay area, when you get to Canton, what will you be doing? Why is it important?
It's the special blue ribbon committee that is a part, stands independent from the 48 panel, of the regular Hall of Fame selectors, of which I am the Tampa Bay representative. This is a special blue ribbon panel. There's only like 10 writers on it. And the rest is made up of people like Belichick, Ron Wolf, Polian. There's some big timers on this thing. We're all going to meet in Canton this week, and the Hall of Fame arranged the whole thing. I didn't even have to touch the hotels, being reimbursed for my flight. So we're getting there, and we're having a big, big dinner the first night at the Hall of Fame. And everybody's supposed to attend. There's 25 people. The big question is Belichick showing up? And when I come back on this podcast next week, I'll let you guys know if Belichick showed up in person.
Now, won't John Madden be there?
And John Madden is
you got to pull him aside and ask him about Jameis. If you don't do that, you're fired.
That's outstanding, Isbitz. You'll give me a list. You'll give me a list of people to talk about Jameis. And I'll come back with some good stuff, and I'll tape it. And the next day is an all-day meeting to pick the 10 seniors, 3 contributors, and 2 coaches. Those numbers are set in stone. There's going to be 10 senior candidates, and whoever we pick next week, it's not going to the regular 48 panel.
That's it.
The announcements will be made in the ensuing weeks, and they're going to get busts in Canton. That is 15 extra people that are going to get busts in Canton?
Important question for
Bucks. Some of them will be posthumous. Some of them.
Two important questions for Bucks fans as we head out of town. And we thank Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Brewery, check out their website. And at joebucksfan.com, click on the Big Storm tracker where you can find all the beer. And, of course, we thank Pin Chasers, three Tampa Bay locations, pinchasers.net. Ira, Doug Williams, is he in the mix?
There's nobody out of those 15 that are going to be selected that are going to necessarily have Buck ties. Doug Williams is not in the mix.
Was he eligible?
Doug Williams was eligible.
Okay.
As was Jimmy Giles. And they didn't make the cut down. So now there's a list of about 20 that are going to be cut down to a final 10, and those 10 are going to get bust.
Gotcha. All right, good luck up there, Sage.
I'm going to be doing some digging, and don't think I'm not going to get some quotes on whoever makes the finalists in terms of the modern-day players from a Buck perspective.
Smack Belichick around for us, okay?
There you go, baby.